Well, you know, I mean, just the Henry Miller Museum was amazing. That was the highlight for me, was that, you know, opening up that, seeing what had happened and having the opportunity to see it go from a boarded up building to what it is today is, you know, is really something. I mean, every convention has great speakers, and I really enjoyed Senator Harkin. I thought he gave a real stem winder. And I think Lonnie Grayson really good, had some really good words for us. I didn't get to spend as much time on the floor as I normally do. I had other assignments, but to me, really the biggest thing to me was really the Henry Miller Museum, and kind of a credit to our past with the eyes on the future, like we said. And again, I just the fact that I got to see it from a boarded up building to what it is now was just absolutely awesome.
That was International Representative C.J. King on the 39th Convention in the Civil War era boarding house where the IBEW was founded in 1891. Now restored as the Henry Miller Museum, thanks to the generosity of our members and local unions. C.J. would be one of the first to learn of business manager Frank Jacobs' plan to save the historic structure. For most of us, the story of the home and the role it played in our formation would come from the Henry Miller story, a six-minute video produced by our international office in 2009. And besides a brief mention in an early edition of The Electrical Worker, which would go largely unnoticed, the location would be lost to the folklore surrounding Stoley's Dance Hall for 115 years. Until one night, working late, International Representative Mike Nugent would make an exciting discovery. A local 134 journeyman wireman and graduate of Loyola University, Mike would join our international office staff in the late 1970s. Over the next 30 years, he moved through several seats, and his last one, as curator of the new IBEW Museum, would lead to a discovery that would confirm the location of our first convention, less than a mile west of Stoley's Dance Hall.
So I was working late one night, as I did a lot of times, trying to organize things because it was nice and quiet. And my hands fell upon a copy of the first constitution of the IBEW. And so I said, oh, okay. So I opened it up, and I had never opened it up before. So I opened it up, and on the inside cover of the Constitution were a list of officers and their addresses. And lo and behold, there was Henry Miller and his address. And I was stunned because Miller was like a huge black hole. Nobody knew much about him other than what Kelly had written about him. And one of the travelers had written about him after his death, at very little bio. And so to have this address, I couldn't wait till the next day so that I could talk with retired now International Rep Larry Lyles. And Larry Lyles did a Google Earth, and he said, you know, it looks like the building may still be there.
To verify the building's authenticity and survival, Mike would turn to former Local 4 business manager Mark Bruggen-Johann, at the time the newest addition to the IBEW's media department. Mark was set to return home to visit family over the weekend, and Mike asked him for a favor. Would he mind driving by an old building in North St. Louis?
So Monday morning he comes in. He is really excited, and he did more than just drive by. He took is Nikon digital and took some really high quality photographs of the building. One of the things that was important to determine if this was it and not a replacement building was the cast iron markings on the front of the building. So that would establish the date window when the building might have been put up. So that was our verification that it wasn't put up after 1891. And that passed in flying colors. So Mark was, you know, he liked this idea. He liked the fact that it was the only building left on that side of the street, practically. You know, it was not a very pleasant thing to look at because it had been run down. And no people were living in it. No buildings were there. No businesses were there. But, you know, the heck, this is it. This is where it happened.
The Gerst Brothers Maker's Mark on the cast iron storefront would be confirmed again by St. Louis author and historian Nene Harris, who would match the building's architectural style to similar structures from the 1860s. Brother Nugent would find another reference to our first convention in a document penned by our first Grand Secretary, J.T. Kelly. Considered by many to be one of the most accurate accounts of our early history, this portion of his 1921 dinner program titled A Brief History of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers states, "The convention remained in session 1 week and prepared a constitution, ritual, and all other things that go with an organization. It was agreed that only corncob pipes would be smoked during the convention, and it would be hard to find a jollier or more enthusiastic bunch than the one that met in a room near 28th and Franklin and formed the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers." With hopes of saving and securing the property for the IBEW, Mike would send his discovery and the supporting documentation up the chain to our top officers for consideration, while Brother Brueggen Johann would include the correction in the Henry Miller story, which would help to dispel much of the confusion over the two events. It would be almost 10 years after Brother Mike Nugent's initial discovery when business manager Frank Jacobs would again approach our top officers, only this time his documentation included a general warranty deed. With the help of a straw party, Brother Jacobs had secured the property for the IBEW. During the 2015 NTI conference, Brother Jacobs laid out a plan to renovate the historic structure. Our new international president, Lonnie Stevenson, welcomed the presentation, and along with our international vice presidents, they laid out a plan that would lead to a ribbon-cutting ceremony just 4 days before the 39th IBEW convention. Inspired by the recent opening of the Henry Miller Museum, we decided our official 125th birthday deserved more than a tweet or a few lines on Facebook, so we asked members from across the country to tell us their IBEW story, to share their dreams for our future, and the significance of our November 28th anniversary date. What follows are their responses arranged as neatly as possible. Here again is retired international representative Mike Nugent.
I think our history, now that we know a little bit more of it, we can appreciate Henry Miller more. Henry Miller was it. Kelly was the other it. Kelly kept the books. Kelly was like more like the businessman. Henry Miller was like the organizer. And they worked as a team, and they worked very, very well together. They were there at the critical times when we needed them. You know, it's almost like a holy day of obligation. So that's what I feel. I mean, it's my Catholic upbringing, holy day of obligation, but that's the story.
His daily Facebook posts on the history of the American trade union movement have become a favorite amongst friends of C.J. King. On the significance of our November 28th anniversary date, here he is again.
Well, I think I might disappoint you with this answer. I mean, I think it's important to me and you and those of us that really geek on history. You know, I think for most of the IBW, it's just another day. But, I mean, I think it's what we make of it. And, you know, I mean, the fact that we just hit on a certain number that's divisible isn't that big a deal. But, I mean, to me, the big deal is longevity. It's how long we've been doing great things. And it's hopefully just an opportunity to do it for a lot longer, you know. And I hate to dwell on the past. I hope we look at this as an opportunity to move forward into something even greater. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting gray hair or something. But birthdays don't mean as much as they used to, you know. And I think it's great that we've survived this long. But I think it really calls upon us to see what we're going to do in the future. We just got past another big convention. You know, let's all get behind our officers and let's get behind everything we said at the convention and let's really make some progress in the future. Let's not rest on anything we've done in the past.
Michael Acabellis, Director of Apprenticeship Training for Local 80 in Virginia, would camp outside Local 3 in New York City for 5 days in the 1970s just to get a chance to fill out an application to become a member of the IBEW. He never looked back.
I know I'll be teaching that night, and I know it's going to be something I'm going to be talking to the students about. It's been a long, hard struggle, you know, from the original 10 members, Henry Miller, and some of those struggles we still have today. To me, you know, we always got to keep moving forward, doing right by the contractors and the customers. And I know I'm not going to be around, but I would love that the IBEW for the next 125 years.
Next up is Brother Steve Elliott, a journeyman wireman from Local 82 in Dayton, Ohio, with a great deal of passion for the IBEW and our history. In fact, you may have read about Steve in one or two of the museum articles published over the last year in the Electrical Worker.
I think it's meaningful because it means to me that there were men with a vision greater than mine. And they started small, 10 men in a small room, and I've been blessed, you know, as you know, I've been out there to the grand opening of the museum to see that room in which Henry Miller and nine other men sat around a round table and conversed and put together the structure of the IBEW. And so had they not done that, what would I have been doing for my career? Had I gone into the same profession, would it have been as safe, would it have been as rewarding and productive? It's hard to say that it ever would have. Maybe someone else would have started it, but I thank God that these men did start it. And coming out to that museum, well, I'll tell you what, the shortest version I can tell you is if I lived closer to St. Louis, Missouri, you would have me as a volunteer to be out there on various days talking to other people about what the IBEW meant, not only to me, but to thousands of other brothers and now sisters.
Next, Brother Wendell Yee, a son of Jamaican immigrants and young journeyman wireman from Local 3 in New York City. Our conversation with Wendell would be delayed as he worked with other officers of the Electrical Workers Minority Caucus on their upcoming conference. When we finally spoke to Wendell, his love and passion for the IBEW spilled over in a 30-minute conversation full of enthusiasm and great ideas.
I would say, on Monday, turning 125 years, it's a big accomplishment that we're still around and we're still a big guiding force within the country, being that we've just had a letdown with the new election, and we're probably going to have to fight harder than ever to keep what we have, where previously we've seen some kind of easement in help of organizing, helping organize the country. This is not the first time that we've gone through these letdowns with the presidential election and had to fight. It's just that I would hope we've been around for 125 years, so we got a good, strong foothold. I would see that the IBEW from here is positioned in the environment that we could continue to organize companies, grow our membership. We need to continue to grow and inform the public that unions are viable and the only way that as working individuals, we're going to survive as if we come together as one, whether it be within the IBEW or some other labor union, but we got to come together.
Hale Landis, a 30-year member of Local 134 in Chicago, was recently laid off for the first time, but his passion for the IBEW is as strong as ever.
Well, I don't think the significance could be understated. You know, were it not for that meeting 125 years ago, this conversation wouldn't be taking place. I certainly don't know what I would have done with my life. And I imagine there's a lot of brothers and sisters out there who feel the same way. So it's really important, just now more than ever, considering what happened with the election, that we unify and solidify and stand in solidarity, not only with other IBEW sisters and brothers, but with organized labor in general, across the United States, in the world, and just with working people, because the working people need to understand what unions are all about, that we're there looking out for them as well as for us.
Business manager Greg Gust.
Well, I would just like to say from Local 82 in Dayton, Ohio, I wish the IBEW a happy 125th anniversary. Hope it stays strong, keeps up the good work that it's been doing.
And on their dreams for the future of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, there was a consistent theme. C.J. King.
Well, to grow. I mean, at one time, we almost hit 1 million. We were over 991,000. I mean, I think the dream's got to be to represent 1 million workers. I think that's, I think that's something we have to do. Is we have to organize. We have to get bigger. We don't have as much power when we don't have the scale.
Michael Acabellis.
I just want to see them keep building upon what we've done in the past and making it opportunities for every man and woman looking for a career in the electrical trade, whether it's construction, utility, the opportunities are there, and we got to make sure we offer it to everybody. The stronger you are is with the numbers and the market share.
Brother Mike Nugent.
Well, it's been a blessing to me, and, you guys need to carry it on. That's all. And you're doing a great job.
On what advice they would give to new members, here's C.J. King.
The one thing, and I don't know if I could tell it to a new member in a way that it'd do it justice, but it's about giving back. It's not what you get from the IBW, it's what you give to it. It took years to learn that lesson. I think a lot of us get in, and I'm just being honest, we look at the pay scale, you know, and that's kind of our number one thing. But then as you get around, you realize all the sacrifices that have been made and the stuff that's so much more important than just the money, you know, that we do. And, you know, to me, the number one thing is what you're going to give into this organization, not what you're going to get out of it.
Michael Acabellis.
I always tell them, once they graduate from the apprenticeship program, the opportunities are limitless, except for what each individual limit themselves to. They can make a great living just as a journeyman electrician. They could start moving up the career ladder, become, a sub foreman, a foreman, general foreman, estimator. The ultimate goal is to become an IBW union contractor. So I just tell them the opportunities are there, and education is the key to success.
One man who took full advantage of the opportunities afforded him through an IBEW apprenticeship program is attorney Marty Glennon, a generational member of Local 3 in New York City and a shining example of the vision of the late Harry Van Arsdale.
So third generation, grandfather and great uncle, along with my father and two uncles all in the business, Local 3. I'm the oldest of eight, my five brothers and my brother-in-law, all Local 3. And I came in 1984. So I was fortunate enough that during the apprenticeship program, where you get the four-year apprenticeship program, you also have to get an associate's degree in labor studies paid for by the local. And then we had an education and cultural fund. If you wanted to continue your education, members would be reimbursed up to $20,000, and the spouses would get $15,000. So after I finished my associate's labor studies, I just continued going at night while I worked in the industry, got my bachelor's, went to law school, and today I'm a labor attorney representing three IBEW locals, including Local 3.
Returning to the question at hand, advice to new members. Here's Hale Landis.
I don't know how apprenticeships are run nationwide. I know our apprenticeship, they get some history, and I don't think they get enough. Of course, there's only so many hours in a day, but I really think members, young members and maybe older members as well, need a lot more labor history. A lot of people don't realize the numbers of men and women that fought and died to give us the right to organize. And you know what? I don't even think right is the correct word, because unfortunately, the government can't take it away. They've given us the legal permission to organize, which we didn't have 125 years ago. So certainly labor history needs to be more pronounced in apprenticeships and within, meetings and such as well. Priding your work, that can't be understated, or that can't be overstated. I'm sorry. You know, if you don't take pride in your work, you're not going to be doing good work. You got to be willing to sign your name to every piece of pipe, every motor control center, every transformer, you know, whatever you install, be willing to sign your name and let people know that you did it. I think those would probably be the main points, and never stop learning. I mean, I 30-year member, I still take classes.
Thanks for listening. I'm John Carhoff, and as we close, we're going to add two more. The first from Brother Greg Gust, business manager from Local 82 in Dayton, Ohio, following him immediately after Daniel Johnson, a journeyman wireman from Local 134, who called in from his perch 60 feet in the air. Daniel's very proud of his local union sponsorship of the Eternal Flame in Founders Plaza at the Henry Miller Museum. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, IBEW, and happy birthday.
The IBEW has made me, it's given me a stronger will for life. It's given me a great outlook for the future. There's nothing more important than putting a brother to work and seeing the satisfaction on somebody's face when they've come over from the other side and seen what a better life we provide with our pensions and our better health and welfare and our annuity plans. It's great to see that. It gives me satisfaction.
God bless the brothers and sisters out there, past, present, future.